Robert A. Williams, Jr. is a professor of law and American Indian Studies at the University of Arizona, where he's been teaching for over 26 years. His book examines the cultural and political implications of labeling people as savages, often as a means to justify aggression or the denial of equal rights. I talked with him about his inspiration.
I'd been doing research basically all my life for 30 years as an academic on the idea of the savage in the way that Western civilization is related to tribal peoples. I started out, of course, looking at my area, especially American Indian law, and this idea of the savage. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, the early Supreme Court decisions all used this idea to justify the dispossession of Indian tribes of their traditional territories. And I began to trace this idea not only in the U.S., but in Australia, throughout Latin America. And as you begin to work with the idea, you see it has a continuity that goes way back in Western history.
Can you outline for us what the classical, or the Greek era idea of what the savage represented?
That's actually where it begins, in the very first written works of literature in the West, Homer's Odyssey and the Iliad, those two great poems. We're introduced to the idea of the savage. Homer talks about tribes of centaurs fought by the great warrior heroes. You have various heroes who defeat the Minotaur, and the whole idea that the conquest of the earth as held by savage beings and monstrous creatures is what defines the hero in early Greek poetry. And we see this idea of the savage and being confronting Western civilization repeated by the Romans. You can walk around Rome today and see the great battle monuments to triumphs over the barbarian tribes of Europe. It's repeated by the church and the Crusades. And of course, we see it with Columbus and his use of the idea of the savage. And it continues on, not only into our founding era, but even into 21st century Indian law decisions of the United States Supreme Court. The United States Department of Justice, Amnesty International, have all identified an epidemic of violence against Indian women, particularly in Indian communities. And the vast majority of time, the statistics show that this violence is perpetuated and perpetrated by non-Indians. And the Supreme Court and Congress have refused to give power to recognize the inherent power of tribes to punish those offenders who come onto the reservation and basically beat up and abuse Indian women. Tribes have asked Congress to amend legislation. Congress has refused. In the most recent session, it's refused to amend the relevant legislation. Tribes have gone to the Supreme Court asking for this jurisdiction. The court refuses, and it cites the very same 19th century cases which use this idea of the savage as the central justification for U.S. power over Indian tribes.
What's a remedy or solution that you would advocate for us to rise above this?
Yeah, I actually use and I cite a lot of the cognitive psychological research, which talks about the harmful role of stereotypes. I mean, we see a movie like Avatar or Dances with Wolves, and even those, you know, sort of benign images of the noble savage, you know, situate and freeze Indian people and indigenous peoples in this sort of poetic past, and it doesn't really help us understand the problems and the contemporary situation confronting Indian nations today as they have to govern their own territories and lands. And so I think the best approach, and what the research shows, is to confront these stereotypes, is to be aware of them, to be aware how easily they're triggered by familiar images that we see on TV or hear politicians speak.
That was author and law professor Robert A. Williams, Jr. Savage Anxieties, The Invention of Western Civilization, has just been published by Palgrave Macmillan. For Arizona Public Media, I'm Mark McLemore.